Hi, I'm Ken Carroll. These recordings are provided by ChinesePod.com.
This is a Learning 2.08 conference podcast. This and all conference conversations recorded live in September 2008.
I work at Shanghai American School on the Pudong campus. I am an ESL teacher, so writing for me is something that I'd like to take on as a challenge, but obviously it's a little bit more challenging because of my target audience. And so what I would like to present to you today is ways to take online student writing and then to transform that writing into printed books. And I'll give you my rationale, I'll give you my reason for that as we progress. Brian was saying earlier, isn't that a little weird that we get all the way to the internet, we get to the digital age, and then suddenly I want to take it back to paper and chop down a whole lot of trees. So I'll tell you why, and hopefully you'll forgive me. There's a wiki that I've set up for this that has just a PDF of all of the slides that you'll see today. So if you want to refer back to them, then you can do so. But as the conference organizers have mentioned, if you want to take notes on today's session, then can you please take the notes on the Ning site, not on this wiki. If you join up the wiki, I'll authorize you today, and we can start discussions on the wiki later on after the conference. Okay, so it's hardcopy.wikispaces.com. You'll actually find this address also on the Ning site if you go into my conference session in session two. Okay. First, I just want to talk. Can I just get an idea of who we've got here today? Those of you who teach writing explicitly in some form, so for example, language arts teachers, ESL teachers, I guess, or in the content areas, maybe in science or in math. Okay. How many of you have used a wiki before? So we have some people. Okay. I'm going to try to cater to everyone today. It's going to be a little bit of a juggling act, but I'll make an effort. You can just tell me later whether I achieved it. So first, I just want to bring to mind a few of the past challenges of organizing writing. So for example, just say I'm a language arts teacher. I've got a whole lot of poetry that students have written, and I want to create some sort of a book out of it to send home. We know that not all parents go and look at websites. We're trying to encourage them to do that. It doesn't always work. Sometimes if we give them something solid in their hands, it might be something that they review. But in the past, writing was in isolation. I write in my class for my teacher, and we're pretty much the only two people who see the work. Maybe there's a bit of peer review involved, or maybe it's posted on the wall afterwards. Writing at school rarely had an audience outside of the school. That's changing now with blogs and with wikis. Peer review was a limited activity. So just remember, all of these notes are available for you in slides as a PDF later. So don't get too frantic. Peer review. So I might finish my second draft of my writing essay and I review it with a few peers. That's it. It's over. And that's all we've done. And that's all that's going to happen in terms of me reviewing my writing with my classmates. Also with my teacher. Maybe I've got a one-off opportunity to take my draft to my teacher. My teacher looks at the work. It's done. It's over. There are no more chances. More past challenges of publication. If I'm a teacher and I have a whole class and they all have different pieces of writing, collating it and turning it into a book is a nightmare. There are, just say I've got 30 students in a class, or maybe I take a section of a grade level, so I might multiply that by 4, for example. I've got 120 kids. Maybe all of the writing is on paper. I want to collect all of that writing and turn it into a book. It's a nightmare. Even if I'm collecting Word files, for example, some of you might get students to submit their work as electronic files. Collecting it all can be really hard if it's all over the place. I'm going to give you an argument why it's important sometimes to centralize all the work. Publication involves organizing printing and collation and binding and all sorts of things that teachers don't need to be doing. I've seen teachers really pull their hair out in the past over organizing student books, whether it's yearbooks or whether it's collections of writing that students are doing in class. I'm a teacher, but then suddenly I'm tasked with getting printing done, or binding a book, or organizing how a cover's going to look. Distribution. If I have a student collection of work, then it's really time intensive. I might have to send letters home to people, collect names of the parents who are interested in buying the book, for example, if I need to charge. And then I'm doing all of that organization that's adding to the administrivia and the time that I don't really need to spend as a teacher. Also collecting money, if I need to collect money from people, if I'm going to print a book that costs. If, as a class, we have published a book and we've distributed it to our community, just say there are 30 students, maybe I've printed 30 copies. One copy has gone home for each student. What happens if the book's lost? It's gone. And I can't get it again unless somebody goes and photocopies the book and goes to a lot of trouble actually to try to produce another book that usually will be of inferior quality because it won't be in the first run. This is what we can do now though. Present possibilities. Writing can occur online in collaborative environments. That's why I would like to specifically talk about wikis today and how we can use wikis. Peers can naturally peer edit. They can do it whenever they want, online. They can check the work of their peers. They can check back on comments that other people have made about their work. Also, students can find a real world audience online. If I'm just writing in class and my teacher is my only audience, then I'm kind of at a dead end. Why am I doing this? Why am I writing this if the only reason I'm writing it is to make my teacher smile? Or, you know, occasionally as a teacher, we might give a higher grade because it makes us laugh, or it sort of breaks the boredom in the process of grading papers. Collation of student writing can be centralized. I don't need to have a whole lot of papers piling up all over the place and then to collect them. Also, ordering and distribution of books that I make of student work, I can outsource the whole thing. I don't need to print it. I don't need to distribute it. I don't need to collect money. There are ways where we can just say goodbye, good riddance. This is not my job as a teacher anymore. I've got better things to do with my time, and you can actually make much more professional looking products if we outsource the work, if we pay someone else to do it for us. And books can be reprinted. If someone loses a book, they can order it again. Just going through the basics of publication, this is going to seem really obvious, but this is my framework. First, if we're going to publish something, we need writers, we need a task, we need a space. We need a space to write in. We need a writing process. We need some way to take all of these individual pieces of writing and to collate them and to format them so they're going to look good and so they're going to look consistent. And after all of that, we can publish. Now, we could just publish on the web, but today I'm going to just introduce another way of publishing, which is via the web, but in print. So allowing students and their families to take books home, books of their writing, keepsakes, things that are enduring, something they can put on their shelf, instead of just having some obscure website that maybe they're going to remember in 5 years, or maybe they won't. A tome, something to proudly display in the home. Okay, first, out of these phases, we have our writers. In our case, our writers are our students. So in my case, I organize my students on my blog, and I want to give them credit. I want to tell them that this is, if we're going to make a student collection of writing, the most important thing is the people behind the writing. Is to give the writers respect, and just a moment. and show them that we appreciate them as writers. I like to build up my writing team to give them a little bit of kudos even before the process begins. So to collect them as a writing team and say, you are a group of authors. Okay, we're going to publish a book. Before we even begin, there's an end in sight for them. They know that there's going to be a little critical review of their work. This actually places pressure on students to increase their output. Some of you might think that's a little inappropriate, especially if students are at a lower level. For example, I have ESL students. There are ways around it. There are ways of getting everyone together online to help edit their writing. And the teacher also comes into that process, which you can do without doing it falsely, without the teacher just editing to the point where they're editing the errors out of student writing. We need a task. We need a space to write, and we need a process for the writing. And that's why I want to introduce wikis. I love wikis. I think they're better than blogs for creating writing because they're true collaborative spaces. And they have a whole lot of really cool tracking tools that give me power that I've never had as a teacher before. I know how many edits my students have done. I know which students have come and commented on their writing. I have this ongoing longitudinal record of everything that's gone into the writing process because it's recorded on a wiki. Now, this is my school blog, and so from the top menu, my students know that we've got some wikis. So I just link to them. So there's a centralized place. Once again, in terms of making this digital universe a little bit more ordered, it's probably best if you don't give your students 5 different website addresses to go and find. They get really confused. Just give them one and then link things off the one website. So in this case, they know they can go to just my blog and then they can go find the wikis from there. I would like to encourage you, if you haven't set up a wiki yet or if you're unfamiliar with it, to take advantage of an offer from Wikispaces. Last year they offered 100,000 free wikis for educators. This year they've actually upped it and they're offering 250,000 free wikis for educators. But you need to go to this site, wikispaces.com/site/for/teachers to get the free wiki. The advantage of taking the free wiki, or you can pay for it, is that if you want to, you can create a completely walled garden that no one else can look at apart from your writers. And also, you won't get the curious Google ads that appear on the right-hand side. My wikis usually have strange Google ads about, I don't know, there's nothing rude, but it's a little distracting. So that's Wikispaces. They're a great organization, and they do offer these deals for teachers. So you can at least take one free wiki so you can experiment with it. And that's what I'd encourage you to do, to experiment with wikis and see if they can work for you.
Is it one per school or one per teacher?
It's per teacher, per sign up. So you could even be crafty about it and use different email addresses if you wish.
You can actually, sorry, John.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I've done several with the same sign.
Yeah,
right. I think they like to give them away because the teachers are actually promoting Wikispaces. Okay. I'm going to talk to a couple of different styles of writing project because there are so many different styles happening out there at the moment. And maybe for those of you who are kind of new to this, or you're interested in embarking on some sort of student writing project, I would like to introduce you to the ones with less headaches first, and then leading up to higher complexity. So, starting with the basics, it's what I've just called here modular writing projects. Now, how this works is, my students might have one task in class. They might be writing a piece of poetry. 20 students might write a piece of poetry, and we've got that on our wiki. Then we start another task. The students might be writing a descriptive paragraph. We collect all 20 of those descriptive paragraphs and we move on to another task. Now, after a series of tasks, I might combine them all into one book. So if for example, I've only got 20 pages of writing, after one task, it's not really enough for a book, for one of these types of books. So it needs to actually be something a little larger if it's going to be cost effective, if it's actually going to be worth people's money. So this is an example. I would like to show you some in progress. This is a little bit of an experiment for me at the moment. I'm still working on fine-tuning some of this, but I'm going to show you where I'm at the moment and hope that you'll trust me that I think these projects are going to work. This is a wiki that I'm doing with grade 8 ESOL or ESL group at the moment, and it's a modular task. So I'm starting with just a task where it's called Where the Heart Is, and the students are writing about the place in the world that they love the most. Okay, it's a simple, descriptive, multi-paragraph kind of an exercise. Now each student, I set them up with their name on the left-hand side of the wiki, and all we need to do is to create a new page, and we can create a page for each student. I'd love to actually finish this early to sit down with some of you to try to set something up if you'd like to experiment with it. Now, with this task, I'm not going to create a complex book out of this one task. This is a task it's to be continued. This is only going to be part of a book. That's why it's modular. All right, so I start with one task. Don't make it too complex for myself. I'm not going to get a book out of one quarter. I know that it's somewhere later in the year with this group. This is my group with the most needs. These guys really, they have trouble writing. They're still struggling with their English. So I've got to give them more time as learners. And I've got to make sure that I'm doing something that's appropriate for my students. I don't want to be pushing a novel out of students who are really just at a stage of emerging English. Another style, you know what? I'm not going to give you a wiki demo today because the internet is a little scary at the moment. Are you all online? Yes, working okay? Yeah, okay, I'll tell you what, I won't risk it at the moment. Maybe we'll do it at the end of this time. Another thing is on the wikis, I've got the names of students, but I've also got spaces. This space here is joint construction, which I actually didn't do with this group. We did this on paper. But if, for example, you want to sit up in front of the class and type as the group constructs an entire story that models the style of writing that you're looking for, you can do it on the wiki. I've got evaluation criteria here. I like to use rubrics. I like to make my expectations clear for my students. So I want to also have the rubric on the wiki. So actually placing the task and the rubric on the wiki, not somewhere else. So if students are going through and checking their work, they can click on the evaluation criteria page and they can go back and self-evaluate or peer evaluate before they go and do their edits. You know what? I am going to experiment.
Let's see. Model that on the wiki to another class.
Yeah, you can actually model it on the wiki or do it live with the students and project onto a screen.
And then you leave that there and they can refresh.
Absolutely. Now, just a few reasons why I love wikis. I'm not going to spend too much time modeling this. Firstly, if you see up here, I need a chair. I've got this recent changes, and this tells me all of the recent activity on the wiki. So if I click on recent changes, wait for it to load. Then I've got the activity of each one of my writers when they last edited their draft. So I know exactly who's been on there, and I know that they've been working on their drafts. Now, if I go into a specific writer, I will pick Stephanie, whose name looks like Stefan. Now, one of the great things is there's a tab called Discussion, I can go in and discuss their writing without interfering with it. Or their peers can come in and discuss it and say what's good or what might be changed. And they do. They really provide suggestions. And I love the fact that English language learners tend to come in and annihilate each other's grammar. So it's the things you don't expect that are great.
Yes. Do they change right on the kids' paper or do they just make suggestions?
I actually create some ground rules with my students. I allow them, they can, technically, the way I set my wikis up, each student could go and mess with each other's work, but they really don't. All they should be doing is touching the discussion.
What about in elementary when you get parents comparing other kids' work?
Technically, you could close it off to the parents and just give access to the kids.
Yeah, but you still get that.
Right, that's a question I haven't even pondered, actually, to be honest. So that's, yet again, that's the kind of discussion I would love to have on the wiki that we've set up for this. I would love for a couple of us to brainstorm on that kind of topic. That's a good point. Just continuing with the students. That's okay. With the student, Stephanie, I can go into her specific history and see exactly which changes she's made. And Wikispaces collects very, very detailed information. It's not just a matter of whether the student's gone in and edited something and I don't know what they've edited. For example, I might think, oh, well, a student could just have gone and deleted one word and then press save, and that's an edit. But if I go into each of the edits that Stephanie's done, I can see that the green is inserted text, and in the red highlight is deleted text. Let's see, what's she done? Nothing. She's just added done, at least for now, at the bottom, okay? It's not a real edit, so I know it doesn't really count. Even if she looks like a frequent editor, I've kind of busted her in this case. But if she's actually done something significant to her work, I can see it. I can see that she's inserted things. For example, I might have said to her, add more descriptive language. And if she's gone through and really tweaked her adjectives or the level of description in her work, then she'll get credit for it. And it's very specifically recorded. Okay, let's get back. Do they use paper and pen? I'll actually talk about that in the next one. There's plenty of things I do in terms of paper and pen work for beginning a writing task. But yes, this is just one way of writing. I actually don't want my students to use the computer for the entire year, believe it or not, because they have to write paper and pen tests as well. And I actually appreciate penmanship too, for pen personship. I don't think using any one technique throughout an entire year is particularly healthy. I'm interested in flexible learners. So that's the answer.
Okay, thank you.
The next level is, if I want to get more complex in terms of creating a writing project, is maybe I want to work on a collaborative writing project. This is another wiki set up with a group of my next level of ESOL learners, my English as a second language learners, and the sparkly effect slowing it down. We're creating what we call a flexi-plot novel, which is just a fancy word for a choose-your-own-adventure book, because we can't use a trademarked choose-your-own-adventure, so we've created our own term instead. So it's flexi-plot. But for this, the class has gone through a whole lot of brainstorming and collaborative thinking that's recorded on the wiki in order to create the basics of a story that is going to be one combined book that this group focuses on for a quarter. So one group is going to write one complete book. So it's not a modular task, it's an integrated task. Yes?
You said there's a certain number of pages to make the book cost effective.
Right, so about 120 pages.
100? Oh my.
But it depends. You can go lower than that.
I'm actually,
that's my target, but we can explore that as well, and you can actually find that there are some It depends on the binding too.
Right.
So if you get ones that don't have a really solid binding, then yeah, you definitely can go lower. So I hope I haven't deflated you. There are possibilities for you lower than that. With this class, we brainstormed about the characters. We brainstormed about the setting, all the basics of a story. We worked on a whole lot of things that were tactile and in the classroom in terms of creating the structure of the plot. But then the actual writing task is going to be transferred over to here. If you watch this wiki over the next few weeks, you'll see some of the writing start to emerge. So I kind of want to give you something that isn't entirely foolproof, so maybe you can actually see some problems as it emerges. It's kind of an advantage to give you something that's not utterly polished and perfect, so maybe if you see some mistakes, you can even learn off them.
So how do you tie that all together?
So,
individual writing?
In the end, all of the writing is going to be contained on the wiki, but each of the students will be writing different components of the story.
Is that part of your brainstorming, what's writing up front?
Yes, absolutely, thank you. But then in the end, I can just cut and paste it all into a document in order, in sequence, and it becomes a complete piece of writing. This is a trickier task, okay? This one I racked my brain about for a little while. Another option, if you want to not just have a task that is in your classroom, you want to go global, you want to get involved with global collaboration projects, now I'm going to refer you to tasks that have been done by, some of you might know Clay Burrell, I believe he was here last year. He teaches in Korea. He wasn't able to make it to the conference. He's done some really great work with developing student writers and collaborating online. And so this was his 9 English class. The task that he set them, it was like the 1001 Nights, where writers had to write something that pleased the king, otherwise their lives would be sacrificed. So their students had to write something that would be critically reviewed and analyzed by other writers in order to pass the grade, in order to be successful enough to be published on their blog. So this was one class in Seoul, Korea, and you can investigate their writing. And eventually, all of the writing was whittled down to 16 of the best pieces of writing. So this is getting competitive. This may not be for everyone. Okay, so if you're talking about learners that absolutely need to be praised and they need to be recognized for their work, this may not be the task for you. But I'm just going to show it to you anyway. After that, this task, which was a large group of writers whittled down to a small number of successful entries, was plugged into a global collaboration project. And that can be found at 1001 Flat World Tales. This is a group of schools around the world, and basically it covered Seoul, Honolulu, Denver. That's where it's begun. But this project is only just beginning. So it's in its infancy at the moment. It's only got a small, what are we doing? Sorry. Glitch.
So, John,
yes.
Ask a question. Is the wiki spaces, like, you can set up as many pages as you can, as many spaces as you want.
Yep.
All under the same username, or do you have to like choose a different username for every page?
No, you can do them all under the same username, and. Then when you log into Wikispaces, it'll give you a listing of everything that you've registered, of all the pages that you've registered. So then if I want to edit my 9 English as opposed to my 8 English, you can just click on your 8, or your 9 English and go and work on that.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, here's a problem. The 1001 Flat World Tales is blocked in China, which is not a new phenomenon. But what if these teachers published it as a book? Okay, now we've got something about the competing digital infrastructure. We've got things that can get through borders. Supposedly the digital information can get through borders, but we know that there are some problems. And we have, for example, the Great Firewall of China. Books can still travel through borders. You can still order books. These get through with no problem. So we've got the writers, the task, the space, the process. Collation and formatting is what I'm going to talk to you about next, and leading on to publishing. And I'm going to have to really rush, and I apologize. I love Lulu.com, and I am in no way affiliated with them. But what Lulu.com is, as some of you probably already know, it's an example of an online, on-demand publisher. So I can take Word documents, upload them to the web, and I can transform them into printed books. So this is what I would like to briefly cover, just to give you a little overview of Lulu. I remember 2 years ago hearing a presentation by David Warlick. David mentioned he was using Lulu to publish some books, and I started to dig deeper into it, but I really had no clue what to do. If I go onto Lulu.com, what kinds of books or products? You can get paperbacks, hardcover books, comic books. You can publish wedding books. Also, you can publish digital documents. In fact, they will let you publish digital books for free online. They will host it for you. Or if, for example, you've got music files and you want to publish them online, they will host it for you. They will not charge you anything. So, for example, I want to publish a paperback book of student writing. So here I go in and I've created an account at Lulu. It's very easy. No, there's no cost just for an initial account at Lulu. You just go and enter your email address, enter some basic details. For those of you who are interested in how you can actually make payments at Lulu.com, they accept major credit cards and PayPal. So what does it cost? Here's an example of, okay, this is less than 120 pages, a little bit more encouraging. A perfect bound book, which is the one on the top, it would cost, to make just one book, $6.53. Okay, that's not including postage and packaging. Plus, you can actually add a profit to that if you want to. Is there a question?
Never mind.
No? Okay. So that's a basic idea of what it costs. You'll have to make your mind up whether you think this seems reasonable and whether this will work for your school community or whether it'll work for you. But for me at least, I think it saves me a lot of time, and it takes things like payments and printing out of my hands so I can actually get on with my job. Now, if it's a $6.53 book, I can actually mark it up and maybe make $2 for the school as a donation. Okay, so you can mark the book up. You can make a profit out of it. Yes?
So do they deliver no problem to China, to
yes.
the school in China? Okay.
And I have tested it. Okay. I've got that far with the testing. Keeping costs down. As I mentioned before, different types of books have minimum page requirements. You need to check on their website for the number of pages. They've got a lot of information there, but I can't explore it all today. A self-published book will give you more control over the price. I know this because I then went to a distributed package for one book that I was doing, and suddenly its price just jumped. So what that means is you can choose just to have a book that's actually published in your name or in your class's name. But if it then gets the Lulu brand on it, you can actually get an ISBN number. It could go into the Library of Congress. You can sell it on Amazon.com. You can go as far as you want with this. So there are, for example, advanced levels of this where you can get distribution packages so they can then start advertising your book to sell it at other vendors. So it can go as far as Barnes & Noble, if you want it to. So again, a book with the distribution package, the price goes up. So I'm kind of recommending, for school purposes, you just self-publish, instead of using all the bells and whistles. Layout. It doesn't need to be too complex. At Lulu, you will find a section called, How Do I Layout My Book? And then, for example, if I want a 6x9 US trade book, I download a Word document. It's a pre-made template. So then I just paste all of the work into this pre-made Word document. Okay, so instead of you trying to go into Word or go into whichever like InDesign or whatever publishing software you might not know how to use and to create the dimensions, if you don't know how to do it, don't. Just download the template that's in Lulu. So here's a tip. All Lulu layouts, they do what's called distilling. It's just transforming the images into Adobe PDFs. So if you're not an expert, just use the templates. If you are an expert at layout, and you can use fancier things like Quark Express or Adobe InDesign, then you can really create some amazing looking things. But if you're not sure how to do it, then don't. Unless you're brave. Okay. Same goes for book covers. You don't need to worry about working out exact dimensions. If they tell you it's a 6x9 book and you don't know how to use Photoshop very well, or you're not sure, then you can download templates. Some of this work can be tasked to students who are good with imaging software. You don't need to do everything. So if you give a student one of these templates, they should be able to work out how to create a front page of a book. Even some elementary students will do a really good job of this. Okay. Can you work on multiple projects at once? Yes. So for example, this is kind of my junk inside my account. I've got my albums that are kind of my personal joke that I make with GarageBand, Apple GarageBand. I've got a creativity kit that's just a game that you can download, and then you can print out the sheets and make a game out of it. You can do a lot of things with this. So I can offer free digital documents, or I can offer printed books, soft cover, hard cover. In my case, I took a bunch of poetry I wrote in 1995 as a tester. I took the same file and made a soft cover version, pasted the same file and made a hard cover version. No extra work. Okay, so you can basically you can create whatever you want. If kids only want a cheap version of something, just make a soft cover. If you think maybe some families or some relatives of the students might want something that's a real keepsake, you can offer a hardcover version. Can you change or revise the book after you've uploaded a manuscript? Yes. So for example, here I've got one that's saying, order a proof of your book to continue. So I need to actually order a proof of the book and check it. In this case, I've got, is this my hardcover one? Approve or deny your proof. So I have a proof of my Lulu book. And this is when it came to me that I had my junky collection of 1995 poetry, and it came to me from Lulu as a hardcover book. And it even had an ISBN number on the back. So, but with this, I also discovered that my layout skills needed work because my text was too small. This is why you order a proof from them first, or at least the first time you do it. But because it was an artsy poetry book, at the end my type was getting a little closer. Okay, so, but they will suggest you just use the same typeface, the same font, just use the same size throughout the book, it will look a lot more professional. But this, I ordered this in Macau over the summer break. It got to me in Shanghai in the space of about 2 weeks. So you order from Lulu, which are in the United States. The package actually arrived from England, which was curious. So Lulu obviously have a global distribution network or people they outsource things to in order to provide you with the final product. So that's just like a hardbound version. I made a silly cover at the back, it was just back to front. But you can create, obviously, you can put your author's pictures on it, or whatever you want to do with the book. It's completely up to you, the artwork. Okay, so publication. Whoops. To publish, Lulu gives you a little storefront at Lulu, and all you need to do is provide your parent community with the URL, with the internet address, okay? You don't need to send out masses of newsletters, you don't need to send out an order form. Just tell your parents what the address is. That's not my actual address. It'll be very simple. It'll just be stores.lulu.com/whichever name you've chosen. Okay, so it could be SCIS8English or whatever you choose. Okay, here you can see you can order either a hardcover version or a softcover version. If I click onto one of them, it's just going to say, here's the softcover book. I can actually click up here and preview some of the pages. So it automatically scans the pages and will allow your readers or your potential buyers to to preview the pages, and then you can just click away and add to cart. In my case, my book is way too expensive because I chose that distribution package, which I don't want anymore. Okay, so just choose self-publishing, and your books can be much cheaper. And it's out of your hands. You don't have to do anything more. It's going to get delivered to your community. If you want, you could bulk order through your school, and just you can save some money and make the books cheaper that way, if that's your choice. Or you can just say, all right, here's where the book is. If you want to buy it, buy it. And then your community can buy it. Here's the advantage as well. You don't just have to offer the book one per student. They can pass it on to their family members. Maybe they've got a family back in Korea, or they've got a family back in Taiwan. They can just send them the link, and they can buy the collection that their relative has been a part of. And they can actually have a book that's making its way around the world, as opposed to just something that's digital. So my suggestion is that we have the ability to start with digital writing in blogs, or in my case, I like wikis. I prefer the wikis. And we can transform them back into printed writing, something that's enduring, something that the family can keep. So, three tips. Set up a free wiki, if you haven't done so already. Create a Lulu account, or go and choose your own on-demand printing company. And please stay in touch. And if you would like to experiment with this, then please kind of put some comments on the wiki as it emerges. Yes?
Does Lulu automatically format blogs in books, or is that different?
No. Not at this point. But if, for example, if you actually drove all of your blog through an RSS feed, then that could actually be a very fast way of catching all of that writing, and then you could paste that into a Word document, for example. So if you wanted to publish something very quickly, or the contents of a blog like that, I'd probably say push it through an RSS feed. Otherwise, you're going into each individual blog entry and copying it and pasting, which can take a really long time. Any other questions? I hope this has made sense to you. And if not, please ask me. I've got my email address here. And also there's the wiki, which you'll please join it, and I will preview within the space of today as soon as I can get back online. And then you're free to join the collaboration, join the discussion. So this is an experiment. I would love for you to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone want help with setting up a wiki?
I have a question.
You're my question person.
I know. I like this stuff. It's on Facebook. Join this space. So if you're at the wiki, the hard copy wiki, join
this space. Up on the top left hand corner it says join this space. If you're trying to join this space and you haven't yet joined Wiki Spaces, you need to join Wiki Spaces first. So it seems a little convoluted, but that's just so you've got access to Wiki Spaces.
So what do I do?
Yes.
Oh, so I do
yeah, sure. It's actually an Apple, you know, maybe I can export it. Do you use Apple or PC? Use the PC?
Either.
Oh, okay, well, I'll give you the, I've got, like, an Apple, you know, I've also this, this software. So do you have that software? Okay, so maybe what I can do... tell you what. Yeah, I actually, I wonder if I just go to I made one last night and decided to upload it. It's too big.
Are released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share alike license. To learn more about the Learning 2.08 conference, visit our website at learning2cn.ning.com.